32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.
Thanks for joining us once again on the 32GI Sports Nutrition Podcast. I'm Mr. Active, David Katz, and every week in, week out, talking about stuff that I'm so passionate about. I mean, nutrition is so important, not just for exercise, but with everyday life. Today, we've got a guest coming on to the show again, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Paris Edwards onto the show, age group triathlete, ultra triathlete, should I say, and has done a lot more than that. But first of all, Paris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I must ask you, I know you get this a lot, but any South African listeners would read your name and go, is it Paris or Paris? You know, Paris by the Waal, as they call it. And I'm sure you've got a lot of that in your life.
I certainly have, yes. And my dad spoke no Afrikaans whatsoever. I thought it would be unique to spell my name P-A-R-Y-S, and I have lived with the consequences ever since.
Well, let's get to some more serious stuff. You've originally from Zim. You spent a lot of time in South Africa. You're actually back here training at the moment and recovering from sort of injuries. But you're also based and at the moment competing out of the UK. Initially, you were a hockey player. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. That was my first love in terms of sport, and pretty much took up the first 30 years of my life, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Now, talk to me about that transition. I mean, it's not uncommon. We see people do it all the time. But hockey is a, you know, it's a quick burst sport. It's a very different sort of endurance that you need for hockey as opposed to becoming a triathlete and an ultra triathlete. When did you realize you had a sort of bigger endurance engine?
You know, I hadn't. One of my strengths actually in hockey was my fitness and my work ethic. And I was always the one that was excited about fitness training or bleep tests and things like that. So I knew even as a hockey player that I liked that side of sport, but it just consumed me while I was trying to achieve what I wanted to. And it wasn't until I thought, right, I need a break from hockey, and I stepped away and literally just fell into triathlon just as a means of keeping fit and meeting some friends in London, and it just grew from there. But I didn't really know, I had no idea what I was capable of before I got involved in triathlon, if I'm honest.
Did you find that adaptation quite easy? I mean, swimming would have been something foreign just to playing hockey, but it's probably something you did in your life. What was the hardest of the disciplines sort of to get into, and was it sort of an easy progression for you?
Well, the progression, well, it was easy because one of the things that I struggled with hockey was the subjectivity of it. You know, in triathlon, if you've got the quickest time, you've won the race. In hockey, often it wasn't that easy to say, did you have a good game or didn't you? And how much pitch time you got depended on someone giving you that pitch time, choosing you, your coach selecting you. There was such a dynamic as well with the team, which I loved, but I also found it hard. You know, if you made a mistake, you let the team down. In triathlon, you're just responsible for you, really. So I found it a much easier switch, and it was more of a niche for me. And in skill sports, the harder you try, sometimes the worse you play. You know, triathlon, once the race starts, you can just put your head down and work hard, and that suited me too. But I think the hardest thing to get to hang of was swimming. I didn't swim a lot as a kid, so that was really tough, learning to swim properly at the age of 30. It's been a labor of love since.
Well, poor South African triathlete Richard Murray, he's worked really hard on his swim, but still is his hindrance, and you know, could see him winning a lot more races if he really could get out with that lead pack on the swim. So it's very important. But when looking at ultra triathlon, maybe not as important. You've got the time to come back on the bike and on the run.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, that's why I target the distances I do. The, you know, it needs to be half Ironman and longer. And by far the shortest aspect is the swim, and you can minimize your losses. And that suits me. And the fact that it's non-drafting as well. I mean, Olympic distance, I think if you're not a strong swimmer, you really are ruled out of any success there, because you need to save your legs on the bike and then be fresh for the run. But in the longer distances, there's a little bit more forgiven, for, you know, well, a bit more leeway for the weaker swimmers, I think.
Well, Paris joining us, of course, on Skype. Paris, I must ask you now, so it was 2007 where you sort of made that transition into triathlon, and you've got had a professional license, shall I say, since 2014. What have been some of your triathlon highlights since sort of taking up the sport?
Oh, since first taking up the sport, I think the best really was when I won the world champs at the half Ironman distance in Vegas. I was thinking top five would be a dream. So to win my age group and be the second age grouper, that will stay with me for a long time. And that was the first time I thought, wow, I'm not bad at this. Since then, obviously, my first professional win at the Laguna Piquet Triathlon, that was very special. It's a beautiful race. They call it the Race of Legends, and wonderful atmosphere in Phuket in Thailand. And that's also I didn't think I'd get to win a race as a pro, so that was very special.
Well, age group events at Ironman, half Ironman, and challenge events, I still think they are a lot harder and more competitive than the open events. You know, it really is difficult. Age groupers push really hard, so some fantastic achievements there. Looking more recently, though, it's been a bit of a low in your career. I know you've been plagued by injury recently, partly fueled your coming out to South Africa. Tell us a little bit more about your road to recovery.
Yes, yeah. Unfortunately, I think one of the legacies of hockey was quite a few injuries that I carried with me, and I had ankle surgery in 2010, which I, as an age grouper, took me out for about a year. And then, unfortunately, just when I was starting to find some really good form in 2015, I tore my hamstring tendon. Spent quite a bit of time rehabbing it, trying to treat it conservatively. Managed to do one or two races, and then it failed again. So I had surgery to repair it in December 2015. And that was a tough road. But I used that time to reset some things, go back to the basics with my core strength, and really work on my run technique. And actually, since that surgery, I mean, my running's been the best it's been. My time's been getting quicker and my form's better. So I'm a big believer that you can use all your injuries and setbacks to grow you, but you have to approach them with the right attitude, and they're certainly not fun at the time.
Paris, as a physio, as someone who's sort of studied in that genre, do you find you're more frustrated with injuries because you kind of understand them and you understand what you need to do, and that it's not such an easy process to come back from a lot of injuries?
Yeah, I've wondered about this, you know, and I think actually it helps me being a physio. There's a lot of stuff I self-manage, and I commit to the, you know, I know when I have to commit to the training and the disciplines, the things you don't like doing, your stretching and your core work or release. So I think it's been really positive for me. And the one thing I never expected when I stepped back from full-time work as a physio just to race professionally, I never expected it to impact my physio work so much, because I've learned just as much from triathlon for physio as I have, you know, about my physio and triathlon. So it feeds both ways, and I feel very grateful to tie my two favorite things together like that.
Now let's move over to some nutrition. Obviously, that also is important whenever you are training or sort of out of season, in season as a triathlete, but specifically looking at coming back from injury, have you needed to eat in a certain way? Have you adapted the way you've eaten over the last few months?
Depending on injury, my nutrition varies just according to my calorie needs, but I've massively changed my diet and my approach to nutrition since going pro, and even before, because I've had quite a few issues with my gut. I found out about 8 years ago I was gluten intolerant. I'm a non-celiac gluten intolerant, and cutting out gluten was what prompted me to make a massive step up as an age grouper. I mean, I just remember my achievements, I just jumped up in ability, and it was really insightful. And then in my first year pro, I was struggling with some gut issues again, and I remember saying to my sister, you know, it feels like I'm eating gluten, but I'm not. Something else is happening here. And so I saw a sports nutritionist at the time, and found out that I had leaky gut syndrome. So this inflammation in the gut wall, and you start reacting to foods, and then your immune system goes into overdrive, and you get all sorts of allergies and gut symptoms. And I cut out the foods I was reacting to and changed up my diet again, and again, huge step up in performance. My body fat dropped. I felt healthy. I wasn't getting sick. I had so much energy, and it was just fantastic. So I learned early on the role that nutrition plays, and what it can do, especially in endurance sports, because you know that's obviously gets more and more important the longer you have to go for.
Well, Baris, it's a problem a lot of people do have, and as you said, it's trial and error finding what's causing it, what works. Talking about what works currently, where you're at in terms of racing, what are some of your nutritional practices?
And in terms of racing, well, I'm off the gluten and dairy. The main allergens, really, the main things that can aggravate your gut: gluten, dairy, sugar, and alcohol. So pretty much those four, I'm pretty much off, just to try and look after my gut. And the other thing that really improved my training and performance was to increase my protein intake, especially at breakfast. Some days, I kept a food diary, and then I realized I wasn't getting protein till the evening sometimes. It can be easily done, you know, especially before I cut out gluten. So I always make sure I have some protein in my breakfast. And so like a race day, I make a protein smoothie for breakfast. It's got protein powder in, and then I put in rice milk and coconut milk, an avo, and then a banana and whatever other fruit I want, maybe half a mango or something really tasty. And I have a black coffee with that. And that literally will keep me going through a half Ironman distance on much less nutrition than I would have before, when I just ate a bowl of oats porridge with rice milk, you know. So I found balancing protein with the carbs really helpful for me.
I like that you mentioned you keep a food diary, because whether you're a professional or an amateur, I know Mark Wolf always talks about it, you don't really know what you're consuming until you are keeping that journal. So it's great advice for anyone out there to look at their diet by doing that. Paris, now very interesting to hear how you do eat around races, but I know you are, of course, also a 32GI ambassador and an athlete. How do you utilize the 32GI products around a race?
They've been a huge help. So in the race, I tend to take over the half Ironman distance, I have at least three gels on the bike. And I'm just such a fan of the flavors, the 32GI flavors. You know, I remember being in races and forcing gels down, and now I kind of have to hold myself back and pace my gels out during the ride. I'm a particular fan of the vanilla one and coffee. The G shot as well, the espresso shot. I mean, I'm like most triathletes, a real caffeine addict, and a good coffee is one of my favorite things. And it's literally like having a little espresso on the bike, and really it just peps me. And I tend to take that midway or towards the end of the bike, and maybe one on the run if I need it. So during the race, I'm completely 32GI fueled, and either Endura or the race carbohydrate drinks, along with water or an electrolyte if I'm somewhere hot. Those do the job. Yeah, post-race, the recovery protein powder. It's one of the few protein powders that I can just mix with water and find it's still tasty. Usually I have to mix them with coconut milk or something else, but the recovery, there's the strawberry and chocolate flavors or vanilla, all of them straight into a water bottle with water, and it's perfectly good tasting. It's just so useful. Little sachet wherever I am, I make sure I've got my recovery in post-race as well.
Let's move on now. You're on your way back from recovery. You want to get back to that top level. What's on the cards for you, and even long term, what are you hoping to achieve from the sport?
Yes, so a little bit of a backstep the start of this year. Still working out some gut issues, unfortunately, due to a horrible parasite I picked up last summer. So I've had to back off the training a bit and reset my system, which it's as an athlete, I think, takes far more discipline to hold back than to train hard and to push. But hoping to be back to good health in April and build up for the European summer, and really setting my sights on full Ironman distance this season. I've injuries and illness have stopped me doing that. I've never raced a full Ironman, I'm sure that I'll be in it thinking, what was I thinking? But yeah, I really want to give the full Ironman distance a go, and potentially it could suit my strengths. So if I'm fit enough, Bolton, UK Ironman, or Wales, both of them obviously hilly, suit me and will be fairly accessible for me in the UK. I'll return to London in the summer. So currently looking at some Ironman races, and we'll see what warm-up races before that over the half distance.
Kona, if you're looking to do the full Ironman, Kona must be on the agenda.
You know, it's actually, it takes a real commitment to get the KPR, the Kona Pro ranking points, to qualify. So as a pro, you have to be invited to race the world champs at half or the full. And I often think, as a pro, if you haven't got a shot at the top 10, it's a really expensive trip. So I'd have to be honest and say finances would hold me back on that score. And I think I'm going to tick off an Ironman first before I take on the beast that's Kona. But who knows?
Fair enough. And there's plenty of races, not only in Europe, but across the world, for people to choose in terms of Ironman. You don't have to go to the other side of the planet to race a really good event. Paris, before I let you go, there's a question I ask people often, and what I love is each and every person has something that works for them, and it's giving nutritional advice or a single piece of nutritional advice. What would yours be?
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to narrow it down, and I just feel like I've been on such a journey with my nutrition. But I think you'd sum it up by saying, work out what works for you. So I couldn't eat what other people eat, but you figure it out. And I think we covered it. And the most revealing thing for me was when I first started keeping a food diary. I don't do it all the time, just every now and then. But particularly when I had the nutritional consults, and writing down honestly everything I ate was really informative. And then when you look back on it, you can see what are your eating habits, and just to think about what you're putting into your body, and eat clean, it just makes such a difference when you're asking a lot of your body. You've got to put good stuff in, we're Formula One cars, so we need good fuel. So take a look at what you're eating and think about what you're putting in. It's probably the most important thing.
Well, you're a Formula One car. Most people are sedans, so we're a little bit different from you. I like that you said honestly keeps a food diary, because I don't think, it doesn't matter who you are, at some point you're going to eat something that's a little bit bad and go, no, I don't need to add that to the list. So very important, no. As Paris just pointed out, be honest, because you're only cheating yourself if you're not honest on that food diary. Paris, if people want to follow your career more, if they want to see what you've done, do you have a Twitter handle? Are there places on the web people can check you out?
Yes, absolutely. I'm on Twitter, Paris Edwards Try, and I've got a website, parisedwards.com.
Awesome. I'll put links to that up on the show notes on the website, 32gi.com. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the podcast, and a very special thanks to Paris Edwards. Going to be great to see her road to recovery and her getting through that first and possibly winning her age group in a first Ironman event.
32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.